Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I believe we're going to have a very powerful message today from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God, and I hope that we will get ourselves nice and cozy in the sense of really tuning into what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I've got a number of things I want to share with you today, even a little song from an old friend that I think is very, very telling. And so I just want to wait just a few moments. I want to give opportunity to our friends to join us here, both on Blog Talk, Omega Radio, Facebook, and YouTube. And so we want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. Good morning, Sharon. Good morning, Brenda. God bless you. And we're going to continue to move towards a moment. And maybe what we'll do while we're waiting is share with you a song that I think, and again, I don't do much of this, but I thought it was very telling, and I thought it was this gentleman that you're about to hear gave his heart to Jesus Christ a number of years ago. You'll hear that beat in his heart, and he was a great musician in his day. Like everybody else, he's been through his stuff, but he came out, and he loves the Lord, and he wrote something that I would title this message today. I know we're going into the book of Revelation. We're definitely going to be there. But we have some things that we need to say. So, hey, just a little warming up here, okay? Here's a song by a friend by the name, I know you know him. His name is Rod Stewart. And this is a song called It's Over. And you need to understand, this is not just between a husband and a wife. It has nothing to do with that, quite frankly, but it's a song that really talks about, in my understanding, the way I'm projecting this thought, was God's covenant with Israel, and the time of divorcement came in the days of Noah. God told Noah, it's over. We're going to see a little bit more of the theme, and I'm going to tell you why we're doing that here in just a moment. So here's a little song. I hope you enjoy it. It's Rod Stewart, It's Over. Get depressed, whatever you do, it's not about that.
The congregation sang, we knelt and prayed as we stood before God on that beautiful day. Church bells rang, and the champagne flowed as our friends gathered around for the wedding photo. But here we are, barely 5 years old, and our whole world's falling apart. All the plans we had together, up in smoke and gone forever, poisoned by a lawyer's letter, it's over. I don't want to kiss the doctor. Can we talk to one another? You were once my wife, my lover. It's over. Rumors and whispers tell me apart that I know you better than that. Inseparable we, with a breeze in our sails. Now I feel the chilled wind of a marriage that fails. And our friends are divided, they've taken their sides. Now they'll all sit back and watch the circus unwind. I don't stand here trying to focus the blame, but I'm hurting deep down inside. All the pain and all the grieving, when did we stop believing? Too late now, stop the bleeding, it's over. What's the sense in pointing fingers? Who's the Satan? Who's the sinner? There ain't gonna be a winner, it's over. Oh, my dear, what happened to us? Tell me, where did it all go wrong? Keep on fighting all the tears, all the crying. Why do we keep denying it's over? And all the time I thought I knew you. Don't forget our children's future. I will do whatever suits you. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's over. It's over. Yeah, it's over.
On a personal note, my marriage to Patricia is in perfect tact. This is not about my marriage or anything doing with my personal life. We've been married 28 years. This is not about that. Those are the words that I heard yesterday on my way to a radio broadcast at Kerm Radio. I've been praying in the spirit all the way from my home to Rogers. I was interviewing Ian Rood, which was an amazing interview. If you did not hear that yesterday, you need to hear that recording. I'm going to try to get it up on Omega Radio this week before it ends. But I heard those words in my spirit. It's over. It's over. And I had a visual came alongside of that. And the visual was people sitting around a table and it was over. And they started to wrap up and they started to put things away. And you know, this visual of it's just over came around. And so this morning I was looking for the, in the Word of God, I believe that every Word of God needs to be confirmed. And so I found this passage in Genesis chapter 6 And it's really a heartbreaking passage. I think our brother Daniel, many months ago on one of our broadcasts, mentioned the fact that this is the saddest verse in all of the Bible. And it is simply Genesis 6:13. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now, it sounds very hardcore, "I'm going to destroy them," but that was not the tenor of the message that God was giving. It was the saddest. It was the hardest thing for a creator to come to a point with his creation and say to his creation, "It's over. It is over." And I'm not sure the extent of what I heard yesterday in my spirit, what it is, but I heard it is over. A few months ago, I heard God give another verse of scripture saying, "An evil comes and you do not know from where it comes, and a mischief rises and you won't be able to put it off." And suddenly the day after, we saw what we are in right now become a reality. An evil mischief has risen amongst us. And from where it comes, we still don't know exactly. There's a lot of supposition going on and people trying to figure things out, but we haven't been able to put it off. We tried to do that earlier, and I don't think it's going to be put off. Now they're projecting that in the winter it's going to come back, but Sadhu Sundar Savaraj, a man that is known to be a prophet within the nations, has put out a message. A friend of mine shared it with me who follows his ministry, that he said 1 year from now, this is Sadhu, 1 year from now, a virus will hit, another one, 10 times worse than what is happening right now. And that's between him and God and his prophetic word. In every word we speak, it is before the Lord. And God's people are not to despise prophesying, but we are to be judicial and use discernment. And when I shared just a brief moment, when I shared a brief moment in our Bible study last night about this message at the very end of our study last night, immediately hands went up and confirmations came forward. So in the book of Genesis, we read about this end. We read about the end. And I want to read a few more verses coming out of Ezekiel. And I think we should really get into Ezekiel's message because I think it's very potent. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 1. And I recalled this. We've read it many times, but I believe what I heard was by the Holy Spirit. Time will tell. But Ezekiel 7, 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of America." All right, I know it was written to the land of Israel, but again, we are a covenanted nation. We are bonded with Israel in many ways here in the United States of America. You know that. And here was a time where God was speaking through his prophet Ezekiel to Israel. And I believe that God is speaking through his prophet Ezekiel to the United States of America, another covenanted nation. And you know that Israel was covenanted to Yahweh. And you know that there was a divorce and things came to an end on several occasions, but there was a very deep rift here and a brokenness. And so he said, "Speak unto the land of America, and end, the end is come upon the four corners of the land." And when you look at that, the end, and what it simply means, I mean, it's pretty obvious what it means, but the end, it's repeated twice. That's the cats. And it's the end of a space of time. You know, in the book of Revelation, I gave you a space of time to repent, okay? And because you refuse to repent within that space of time, I've given you space to repent. I've given you time to repent. But because that space of time for your confession and your repentance and your turning away from the wicked things that have drawn the judgment and the wrath upon you, that time is over, is what is being said. This time of opportunity to turn is over. So again, Ezekiel 7:2. "Son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of America, an end, the end, is come upon the four corners of the land. Now, verse 3, is the end come upon you, and I will send my anger upon you and will judge you according to your ways and will recompense upon you all your abominations. And we know that scripturally there are two major themes of abomination. I mean, there's a lot of abominable, wicked things that go on in the heart of man that are projected into society, but we know that God has definitely said the shedding of innocent blood is an abomination to God, and men with men and women with women is an abomination. It's a sexual perversion. So we know that God is going to visit the land because of, and he's going to recompense the land because of, all your abominations. Now, has God warned against the shedding of innocent blood? Has God given space to repent? Has God warned against the homosexual agenda? Has he given time to repent? And yet that time has expired and there has been a rejection by the nation. So, again, I wanted to show you in verse 3 that now is the end. There is a biblical time where it's expired. And God tells the man of God, Ezekiel, I want you to tell them this now. I want you to say it with your mouth. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they say, oh, that's gloom and doom. I don't care what they say. I want you to speak my words over this nation, Israel, and now I want you to speak my words over this nation, another covenanted nation, America. And I want you to tell them the end has come, that I'm sending my anger, I'm going to judge them, and I'm going to recompense upon them all their abominations. The time of accountability for the mass murder of innocent blood and the perversions committed, your time of accountability has come. Verse 4. And God said, my eye shall not spare you, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense your ways upon you, and your abominations shall be in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So the abominable sins of America have been added up. They have been weighed in the balance. The cup is overflowing, in other words, because it's not only what we have done as a nation, sovereign, independent, but it's what we have exported to the ends of the world. And we have ruled over the lesser developed countries, and we have raped other lands of their resources, and we have been a police force around the world, and it isn't always in the good guy status. And so whatever we once were in this relationship, we are no longer in that kind of a relationship with Almighty God. America no longer has the protective hedge of Almighty God because of our innocence, because of the favor that's upon us, because of the goodness of God, because of our relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. That relationship has come to an end, an expiration. There are a few within the nation that will go on in the eternal covenant with Yahweh through his son, Yeshua. We know that. We know that's true. So we have to rightly divide this word. But then again, in Ezekiel 7:5, we read these words. Thus saith the Lord God, an evil, an only evil, behold, is come. So here we have, in one verse, about this evil. An only evil is come. See, when something really bad or something really evil comes upon the land, and it lines up with Bible prophecy about God's dealing with nations, and you realize that that evil comes at the moment God is declaring an end. And we know that God will send four sore judgments upon the land to bring a complete wipeout or a total separation or a complete end, a divorce. And he will turn the nation over to the enemies and the adversaries. This is critical. This is the word of God. This is not being sensational or dramatic. Yesterday, on my way to a radio broadcast interviewing a great man of God, I heard in my spirit, it's over. It is over. And I just let it marinate through the night, and waking up this morning, I'm watching again. Verse 6 goes on to say, an end is come. I mean, how explicit could it be? An end is come. The end is come. It watches for you. Behold, it is come. That is a very powerful message. Now, I know that this is a risky word to share, because one has to be very careful. Is it out of my imagination? Where is this, a solical thing? Is it a counterfeit spirit? I understand. And I understand the critical nature of what I am saying right now. I do understand it. And it must be rightly divided. I'm sharing with you something that I've heard. And I do understand that there's another side to this, that others have said, no, the best days of America are just ahead. I totally disagree with the idea of the best days of America. Maybe the greatest days of the ecclesia, maybe the greatest days of the born-again believer who honors Almighty God are ahead of us. But the idea of blessing a nation who has offended and cursed God to his face openly, I do not see, I cannot concur that these are the best days of America that are on their way. And we just need to get through this little thing and everything's going to be all right. No, I am declaring that the end is come. It's over. No more economic busting and bursting and good times rolling. And while it may appear for a brief moment that that's where things are going, by the time you even get there, the next wave is going to break upon the nation. And then after that, another wave is going to break, and somewhere, someone is going to wake up and realize something is drastically wrong. We didn't expect it. We weren't prepared for it. It came out of nowhere. It was suddenly. And yet, for the faithful voices of God that have been speaking God's word to the nation and encouraging it and exhorting it to turn its course and repent, but its refusal to do so, they are aware this isn't suddenly, this isn't out of nowhere, this was foretold, this was foreknowledge. What we are in right now was already warned, but people forget that. They don't want to go there. They don't want to admit that. And now a dramatic, drastic word of finality, the end. That's what God told Noah. And then he told him, you build that boat. So I'm going to say to the ecclesia out there today that even though you're hearing this word, you need to accelerate your work. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, you need to accelerate that work. You need to accelerate your preparations. You need to waste no time in getting done what needs to be done. You need to be diligent, not in a spirit of fear, not in a spirit of panic, not in a spirit of worry or anxiety. You need to devote all that energy and focus on what you need to do to get your heart ready, your mind ready, your physical body ready, your family ready, the community of believers that you are with are ready. You need to really work this one through, because a declaration is being made, I believe, from the heavens. You be the judge, you do with it whatever you choose to do with it. This is something I heard in my spirit. So we just read in verse 6, an end is come. Ezekiel 7:6, the end is come twice. It watches for you. Behold, it is come. The end. Verse 7, the morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. You know, at nighttime is when people normally do their wicked deeds, because the darkness covers their nasty deeds. But the morning sun always rises and the exposure comes. And the writer here, Ezekiel, by the Spirit is saying, the morning has come. Your time of accountability, the dawning of your judgment is now arrived. Verse 8, now will I shortly pour out my fury upon you, and accomplish my anger upon you. We forgot about the four blood red moons. We forgot about the times of wildfires, massive hurricanes, devastating tornadoes, earthquakes that hit the land, school shootings, church shootings, shootings at concerts. We have forgotten economic collapses. We have forgotten the ominous signs of the heavens with the tetrad of blood red moons, the solar eclipses, the Revelation 12 constellation on September 23rd, 2017, how the nation was divided by a solar eclipse. I mean, we just forget all the bad stuff that shakes our nation to try to wake us up. And we do know that there is an awakening coming, right? We keep hearing that. David Wilkerson, I was shocked this morning when on Fox News, they had a David Wilkerson commercial about David Wilkerson's prophecy about a plague that would hit New York, and then out of that would come a great awakening. On Fox News, they had the picture of David Wilkerson and the words of his prophecy. And so what did the Spirit say about the prophecy, about the awakening? Well, it said, here's what I heard about the awakening. And it wrote this down. And this is, again, I believe the Holy Spirit. This is the tenor of the message. The awakening that is to come is an awakening to the righteousness of God, where men's hearts will pound in deep confession and repentance and flee to the refuge of Christ. This is not an awakening that will allow for the world to continue on in its present course. The awakening that comes after this massive wave of judgment will only produce eternal life for those who fled to the cross of Christ. Yeah, there is an awakening. There's no problem with that. People should be awoke right now. They should be awakened now. They should have been awakened this whole time within our generation to see the things that were perpetrated upon our nation. But it seems like a sleeping church just ignored the darkness when it descended. And people stopped being the compass and the moral compass of a nation. And they exchanged their watchman mentality for the limelight of a big stage in a mega church. And because of that, we're in the condition that we're in. I believe that. And yet there were faithful men like Pastor David Wilkerson, faithful men of God, who spoke to our nation and warned us again and again and again of our personal inward conduct, the condition of our hearts, the condition of our mind and soul, to get ready to be an overcomer, to put away sin, to walk in righteousness and true holiness, and then warning the nation at the same time of what is coming. So now, again, the word of the Lord, verse 8, now will I shortly pour out my fury upon you and accomplish my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways and will recompense you for all your abominations. My eye, in verse 9, the second time, shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to your ways and your abominations that are in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. Verse 10. Listen to the urgency of the message one more time. Behold the day. Behold, it is come. The morning is gone forth. The rod has blossomed. Pride hath budded. Violence is risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor of any of theirs. Neither shall there be wailing for them. Verse 12, note the urgency again. The time is come. The day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they were yet alive. For the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof, which shall not return, neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. This is a powerful outage, is it not? Verse 14. They have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goes to the battle. for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. They hear the trumpet. They may be stirred and stimulated inwardly, but nobody goes out to the battle because the wrath of the Lord is upon the people. They can't get out of the sick bed of Jezebel. They can't move. Verse 15, the sword is without and the pestilence and the famine within. So the sword is not yet come, but the pestilence and the famine is in the land. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. Verse 16, but they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning everyone for his iniquity. So whoever may escape what is coming, they find themselves in a condition that is unnerving to them. They see things. They mourn like doves. Come on. Verse 17. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water. All this propaganda, all this pride, all this let's build, let's in exchange for the bricks, let's use hewn stone, let's build bigger and better and harder, and it's going to be greater. No, it will not be. This word of the Lord is a definite. And we need to take heed. We need to pray. Is this really the Lord's message to America? Or is it going to be like some say? No. We're all going to have the best time of our lives. America's going to zoom back, bounce back, be the greatest nation than ever before. Do you really, in your spiritual discernment, in your understanding of God Himself, our Father, through His Word, do you really see a bounce back? Do you see repentance in the land? Have we shut down the abortion clinics? Have we stopped letting men marry men? Is pornography outlawed again in our nation? Is the corruption gone? Is the defilement gone? Have the national leaders and the church leaders fallen on their faces before God in humble repentance, in brokenness? Or do we see a hardness of heart? People can't even blush over their sin anymore. What do you see? God's favor and mercy coming to the land once again, softening the heart, softening the land, bringing the rain, bringing prosperity and blessing, and everybody claps and praises God. Do you really see that? All hands will be feeble and all knees shall be weak as water. Verse 18, they shall also gird themselves with sackcloth and horror shall cover them. And shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon all their heads. Man, that's a wipeout right there. Verse 19, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowls or bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. So their money, the gold and the silver, is the stumbling block of their iniquity. The love of money is the root of all evil. And the satiety desire for the economy to come back and jobs to come back is all about the money. It's not what God's after. God, our Father, does not care about our economy and people having jobs. He's allowing what is happening to wake us up. But we don't want to wake up. We just want this thing to go away so we could go back to work. But we're still going to murder innocent babies. We're still going to do what is evil and wicked. We're going to promote it and allow it in our law books from the Supreme Court and in all the houses around the country. The invasion of corruption will continue on from Hollywood and wherever it comes from. God's not interested. He's saying that the gold and the silver, the money mindset, is the stumbling block of our iniquity. Verse 20, as for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty, but they made the images of their abominations and of their detestable things. Therein therefore have I set it far from thee. In other words, God brought his glory, his majesty into our nation. He did. And in one generation, Satan, through all his mechanisms, brought all their abominations and etched them in not only the hearts and the minds and the walls and the television screens and the computer screens, but he etched into our society his abomination. Innocent blood flows. Verse 21, and I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth. God's going to give his covenant land, the gooder, the better nation, into the hand of a more wicked people than ourselves. Can someone say China? Can someone say Russia? Can someone say the nation of Islam? God is sending his fury against this land. Understand it. And the last time he sent fury against Israel, it was from the nation of Assyria. In Isaiah's prophecy, I'm sending the Assyrian, who is the rod of my anger, and the weapon in their hand is my indignation. They were a more sinful, wicked people, but the covenant was with Israel. So China and Russia and Islam are maybe more wicked, but we are the covenant nation. And God never changes. And the Apostle Paul said, read the prophets so that you learn how God deals with people and nations. I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall pollute it. My face, verse 22, will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place, for the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. Man, this is a massive, horrible judgment. Make a chain, verse 23, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Every abortion is a violent act against the blood that carries the life and the DNA of a human being. And our cities are filled. And the time of accountability is coming. And what I'm hearing in my spirit, it's over. You can sit at the table as long as you want and say, no, let's keep playing. It's over. It's over for America. That is the word that I hear. You be the judge. You could resist it. You could shake your head no. You could say anything you want. But don't forget that what you heard on this broadcast today, when it comes, you heard what I believe at this moment in my life, being held accountable for what I'm saying, God is saying something. It's over. You need to accelerate your preparations, Noah, because he told Noah, it's over. Get that ark completed. It's done. They have crossed the point of no return. They don't get it. It's not about jobs. It's not about the economy. It's not about the ball games. It's not about the shopping sprees. It's not about getting your nails done and your hair chopped. It's none of that. They don't get it. They refuse to understand. They are willingly ignorant. And they choose to be so. Ecclesia of Yahweh, Church of Jesus Christ, you want to wake up? You want an awakening? Wake up and be awakened to what God is saying today. Time will tell. He said in 24, wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess your houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. You know, China owns Hollywood right now. Did you know that? We just heard that message this morning. China I've got an article here, and if I have time, and I'm able to do this, I'm going to share with you an article about China that's going to blow your mind. When it says, I'm going to bring the worst of the heathen, and they will possess your houses, and I will also make the pomp of the strong, that's the loudmouth braggarts in our government and wherever they are, I'm going to make the loudmouth braggarts to cease. Their holy places will be defiled. Verse 25, and then I'm going to get to this article about China. Destruction comes, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. It's alive, isn't it? This word of God is alive. There is breath in it. There is the Spirit of God in it. And it fits and it matches perfectly with what's going on in our country right now and around the world. Yeah, it's trouble everywhere. But the focus and the concentration is going to be the takeout of this country. And God's sending the worst of the heathen. And then this, 26. Well, I told you about Isaiah 47, a mischief rises, they won't be able to put it off. Ezekiel 7:26 says, mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. In other words, the prophets who prophesied peace and safety, people are going to be saying, hey, what's going on? The prophets that prophesied a pre-tribulational rapture, and they're still here in the midst of this climate, hey, prophet, what's going on? The prophets that prophesied lies in the name of the Lord to tickle people's ears and scratch their backs and make them feel good so they could fleece the flock, hey, prophet, what's the word of the Lord? There'll be no vision. The law will perish from the priest. The council will perish from the ancients. And the final verse in Ezekiel 7 is 27. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Silence in the face of evil is capitulation. You're just as guilty. You see a man beating up a woman in the street, and you watch it, but you don't do anything to stop it. And yet you've watched men slay the innocent babies in the wombs of women and have done nothing about it. You're compliant. You are compliant. You are compliant when our government passes laws that offend our Father and you say nothing, you do nothing. You are compliant because you say, no, I'm going to bury my head. I don't care. It's really bad, but I need to live my life. You're compliant. The desolation's coming on the whole land. And the only people that will ever escape what's coming are those that have a righteousness that far exceeds the righteousness of Job and Daniel and Noah, but they were the three most righteous men in Scripture that were mentioned. But our righteousness in Christ far exceeds that. But it's not a righteousness that you talk about or think about. He who is righteous doeth righteousness, right? You say, well, this is getting a little bit too much. Well, hold on a second. We're not done yet. There's another verse that came, and this was very surprising to me, because it's out of the book of Amos. And what you'll note about the book of Amos, chapter 8, is last year, spring, at this time last year, I was proclaiming, because I felt very strongly that this message was for our country. And I had initially felt that this message was going to happen in the fall. But somewhere along the line, I got an understanding, like some clouds dispersed and a little light of understanding came into my mind. This may be for 2020, because I realized that was the election year, November 2020. So I want to read through it one more time and listen to what it says in Amos 8:1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel, my people of America. The end is come. There it is again. I will not again pass by them anymore. The songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. 46,000-47,000 people in the country, they've just taken them away. It's the beginning. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail. Now, he gets into some of the reasons for the judgment, and then in verse 7, the Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. So there were certain things going on in the times of Amos that the land was committing, abominations and sinful things. And what we have been doing in our nation is far greater in the direction of being worse than anything that was happening in Amos. What we have done is worse. And so he says in verse 8, shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned by the flood of Egypt. Man, I saw that dream a few weeks ago of that massive tidal wave. Let me tell you, anything that thing hits is gone. In verse 9, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I'll share with you what we were saying a year ago about this particular passage. It begins with a basket of summer fruit. And what that meant is that the time of harvest had come. And this was a harvest of judgment. And it would show up in the fall feasts. And you'll see that here in just a moment. It says in Amos 8:10, I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. So he's talking about the basket of summer fruit. So through the summer, the harvest will come. It'll be gathered together. Then the declaration, the end is come. Now when it gets into the feasts, which are in the fall feast, the feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, that seventh month where all these three major feasts appear. He says, here's what's going to be happening. And then in verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Get ready for this famine. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. When this thing hits, he's over there. Christ is out there. Don't budge, because he's going to bring a famine of hearing the words of God when this comes. And those who don't know will never know. And they will be led about by a spirit that comes into this earth. And it will be a furious, satanic spirit. The righteous will have prepared their arks and have gotten out of the way. And they will be in their Goshens, wherever that is, whatever God has revealed to them. And then finally, they shall wander in verse 12 from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins, remember the parable of the 10 virgins? And young men will faint for thirst. I'm going to stop right there. You say, well, but to me that's not pleasant. Let's be honest for a moment. God has blessed our lives. He's blessed us. He's so good. driving down the road, hearing things from the Spirit while in prayer, praying in the Spirit, what do you do with that? When the Holy Spirit says, release it, you release it. Now, I'm sitting here sharing with you from Noah, God telling him the end has come. I know that it won't be with a water flood. I know in 2 Peter chapter 3, it's going to be with fire. I believe the worst of nations that are coming against America are China, Russia, Islam, and others. And I believe they're going to take over this land. They're already doing it very subtly. But how bad is China? Would you like to know? Let's go a little bit. Let me just show you something about an article. I've given extra time for this today. And I'm going to have to read it from my phone here, which is fine. This is an article that was sent, and I'm just going to be able to read a little bit to you, okay? It's called China, the Great Illusion That Deceived the World. China is the world's most dangerous dictatorship, and the ruling elite who hold the power in China are the generals who control the People's Liberation Army. China is the most surveillance-controlled society on the planet. Buried deep in the mountains of central China is the largest supercomputer facility on the planet, the superbrain of China's Communist Party. This system is capable of monitoring in real time over 1.5 billion people. This includes their precise location, family relations, personal connections, employment, income and spending habits, mode of dress, facial and physical features, the sound of their voice, and how they occupy most of their time. This data is linked to every official record, including their driver's license, employment, police and medical records, including, or in addition, all personal communications from every electronic device are monitored constantly in real time, and the vast majority of this data is stored in separate facilities for future processing available to the supercomputers whenever needed. The Chinese people are prisoners within a cyber-controlled prison, and at this point in time, nothing can be done to reverse their fate. Tracking chips have been installed on all of the vehicles in China. Hotel rooms contain hidden cameras, while millions of public cameras record everything in open view. The people also provide their own real-time pictures, which they exchange with family and friends electronically, providing a record of everyone in attendance at virtually every event, creating detailed records of every social relationship using various apps on their media devices. And all of this information is collected by the government's supercomputers. It's ironic the average citizen voluntarily provides all of this personal surveillance data on social media platforms that should more aptly be named slave book. Yet the gullible public continues to report on themselves as they enjoy these social media sites. For the totalitarian regimes of the world, the slave books serve a very different nefarious purpose. By the way, can you recognize when the famine of hearing the words of God will come? When Facebook shuts down everybody that tells the truth? Where YouTube shuts down everybody that tells the truth? The monitoring that will go on the internet, radio broadcasts, it will be illegal to say certain things. God is going to allow for a famine. Believe me, the only voices that will be heard at this time are the false prophecies, the false teachers, the peace and safety messages, the leading of the people to worship the dragon and the beast, and on it will go. Famine will come of hearing the words of God. The internet in China is protected by what is called the golden shield, walling it off from the internet of the rest of the world. China's social credit system determines who will succeed and who will be pushed into poverty, and ultimately who will die at one of the many organ harvesting medical centers within China. Now, God said he was going to send the worst of the heathen, right? Listen to this. China is the world's role model of the Marxist Communist Manifesto, which declared it would abolish all eternal truth, including religion and all standards of morality, replacing them with the propaganda of the all-powerful state, which is always correct. The People's Republic of China is an Orwellian jail in which 20% of the human race faces a cruel and dreadful future. Throughout China Gray, shaded facilities dedicated to detention and death are everywhere. Most of the people ignore them while others try to convince themselves they don't exist. At night, local residents describe a sickening odor that covers the land, which they describe as the smell of burnt pork roasting in an oven. During the day, these facilities operate as an assembly line of death where organ harvesting has been reduced to a modern industry. Each day, thousands of people are processed across China, their organs harvested with no painkillers in order to preserve the vital blood supply to the last possible moment. In minutes, the high-temperature ovens reduce a human corpse to a pile of dust, and some of the harvested victims are not yet dead, the furnace. Night and day, the horrible rhythmic sounds of the extermination process echo through the corridors of these medical prisons as the thousands who are trapped in underground basements wait for their turn to be strapped to a metal gurney, taken to one of the many extraction rooms where a team of surgeons is working nonstop in an industry dedicated to industrial efficiency. It's estimated the organ harvesting program produces billions of dollars in revenue annually used in the modernization of the People's Liberation Army. China has no difficulty in locating sufficient individuals to continue the processing of this industry. Social undesirables, political dissidents, Muslims, and Christians, along with the average Chinese citizen, unfortunate enough to have a low social credit score, who will find themselves one day arrested and processed through these facilities. Under the Chinese communist model of utopia, human beings have been reduced to useful raw materials, and there are no limits to the tyranny and the terror that results. China has embarked on a major economic program, which they describe as One Belt, One Road, or the New Silk Road. The costs are estimated at upwards of $4 trillion. And the project involves creating transportation and transit facilities to allow China to economically dominate and exploit Central Asia all the way through to Europe and Africa, while at the same time providing a transportation corridor for the movement of China's massive army. It is this road that the kings of the East will one day travel for the final battle of Armageddon. The astonishing part of this story is that China actually found a way to encourage third world nations finance the portion of these facilities constructed in their nation with loans from Chinese banks. This entire program, with its massive infrastructure investment, is actually under control of the People's Liberation Army, and what appear as investments in economic infrastructure are fact being constructed as military transport or resource facilities, and through these corridors, China will have the ability to move sizable military forces rapidly to the shores of the Indian Ocean and various locations west, including Africa. I'm going to stop right here because there are eight more pages to this article, and I just feel led to stop it right now. My idea was to be going into the book of Revelation and studying this incredible end time prophecy. Is China in it? Is Russia in it? Is the Nation of Islam or Islamic radicals in it? Yeah. Is America in it? Yep. Yep. The whole world. Is Israel in it? Absolutely. The whole world. A letter, a prophecy written to seven ecclesias, seven churches in Asia Minor, which is today modern day Turkey. In a clockwise manner, Why to the seven churches? Because it was a letter to be read, and they were to send that letter out everywhere. And that letter is continued to you and I today without the fulfillment of what has been written in it. And therefore, we conclude that we are the generation most likely to witness the fulfillment of this end time prophecy, which has been waiting for its time of fulfillment. And something is here, something has begun, and we are in it. And so I wanted to get into the depths of this prophecy, and maybe we will. But this morning, I'm sharing with you what I heard in my spirit. Yesterday, I know I'm a speck of dust. I know there's nothing about me personally that is worthy of anything. But every once in a while, we hear things, we see things, we proclaim things, and they come to pass. This is one of those things. And the sad grief behind the message that I've been sharing with you this morning, it's over. And yet I suspect that many ears will turn from this message and they will continue the pursuit of the things of this world. They will continue in their heart to allow their hearts to go after the things of this world, to somehow tell themselves, this isn't real. We want better days. Now, well, Noah was building his ark at nighttime, knowing that God told him the end is coming upon all flesh. I'm going to wipe out the earth. What was Noah doing with his family at the end of the night? Telling jokes? Sitting around the fire? Let's eat while they're building this ark? What was their conduct like? What was the mindset? Were they in total depression? Were they grieved? Or was there some revelation to their mind that the world actually does deserve what it's going to get? Did he know that about God? Did Noah get it? That God, that this is the was the most grievous thing that God, he repented that he even made man? And did God explain to Noah that while he said, I'm going to wipe them out, did he show him that they were so wicked that it was a good thing, and yet Noah and his family would be preserved and go through it, and eventually a new heaven and a new earth would arise? So what were their evenings like in the Noahide family? What did they do? What did their children do? Everybody worries about their kids. Well, he had sons, and his sons had wives, and he had a wife and a family. Did the kids go, gee, Dad, are you sure you heard from God? Gee, Dad, that's an awfully harsh word, the end of the world. God's angry. He's going to wipe out the earth. And in the last days, God says he's going to do it again. He's going to pour out his wrath upon the nations. Really? What about the loving God, the effeminate God, the God with no feelings that the new covenant preachers have projected in the minds of people? What about him? The God that never does anything. So I wonder what it was like in Noah's family. At nighttime, when they had been building all day long for 100 years, we don't have 100 years. We don't live to 700, 800, 900 years old. We are living in the microcosm of those days, the acceleration, a prophecy that will have a short time to begin and end. And within the context of its beginning, the people that are there and still breathing will see the end and the fulfillment of it, which leads to the ultimate coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein he will bring in righteousness and he will subdue every wicked thing. And if you don't want that to happen, then I have to ask you, where's your heart? Oh, you care about people. So do you care more than God cares? God has been very patient, giving opportunity for the church to be the light and the salt. And you know what we did? We send a mixed message to the world. We tell them that God is this, and you could go ahead and do that. And we mix, like Babylon, the doctrines of Scripture. We left out the carrying of the cross, the need for confession, the need for brokenness and repentance, the fear of the Lord that turns someone away from the course they were on. We tell people, no, you could have an abortion. No, you could be a homosexual. No, it's okay. It's all right. God's not having a problem with it. That's what we tell them. And you think you're more compassionate than Yahweh? You have more love for people than he does? He said, the end has come. He's done it before. He's going to do it again. He's talking to our nation right now. So if you really love people, you better get out of your chair and run to your neighbors and start begging them to repent. Run to your children rather than coddling them and walking on eggshells around them. Slap them upside the head and say, you better knock it off. You don't respect me as your mother. You don't respect me as your father. You're not going to live long on the earth. Don't you dare put me on my heels, son or daughter. You parents out there have allowed your children to dominate you, to make you feel bad. If you've done something wrong, Dad, you better repent, confess, and be done with it, and get up and start fathering again. Let your children walk all over you. Let your children make you feel guilty. If you've done something, confess, repent, and get back into your position. You coddle things, this nation. We spoiled a generation, and we call this love? And God would never do? Meanwhile, your kids are strung out on dope and heroin and cocaine and crystal meth, and the prisons are filled with beautiful children who became teenagers now strung out because God's so loving and he would never do anything? He hasn't even done anything. He just lets people make their own choices at this part. But now it's his turn. And we have a problem with that? Well, I hope not. I hope not. 10,000 pastors in one denomination fell to pornography and adultery with their secretaries and their mistresses while they were preaching the gospel behind the pulpit. Millions of men that go to church every weekend are stuck in the addiction of pornography. Do we condemn them, point the finger? No. But does the church do anything to bring about deliverance? People lie in the church. They cheat in the church. There's hypocrisy in the church. There's pride in the church. There's arrogance in the church. There's confusion in the church. The world has entered into the church. The church is supposed to be a sanctified, set-apart vessel through which God fills and moves and manifests his glory through. You know what it's become boiled down to? One over here, three over here, five over there. Where's the church? It stands for what is right. Satan came to Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago and offered him a position within his satanic kingdom. He said, bow down, worship me, and I'll give you everything. Thank God that Jesus Christ did not bow down. And in these last days, pray that there will be an ecclesia. One here, three there, five there, 10 over here. Pray that there would be a people that would not bow their knee to the image of Baal and capitulate, become compromised, deluded, and deceived by a lukewarm spirit that God will vomit out of the mouth, his own. Take your stand. Dear Christian, take your stand. Side with God. When Moses was in the wilderness and Korah rose up, and Korah said, who are you to think you're something, Moses? We could be the better government than you. They came against godly authority. God said, Moses, call everybody that wants to side with you over here. He separated them, and God opened the earth and killed Korah and everybody belonging to him, including his kids and wives and family and all that they had. Sometimes you just have to side with God when he's about to deal with evil. And you have to get his heart. If you don't understand, God, wait a second. I thought you were all loving and all compassionate and all grace and all mercy. I would never dream that you would be like this. Is that you? Read your Bible and pray. God has never changed. He has never changed. From the days he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah when he wiped out the earth, he's never changed. Covenants have changed. He's never changed. He's never had an anger management class. He's never had to develop himself and become a better person. He's eternally him. And just because we live in a new covenant, you think that God just winks at these things? He gave a space of time to our generation to repent, and we said, no, thank you. Well, I'm going to open the telephone lines up here today for anybody that would like to comment on what you're hearing. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And, you know, I thank God for the life he's given me. I am not trying to be dramatic. I am not trying to be sensational. I'm not trying to be different. I'm telling you, I heard something. And I now see it backed up in the Word of God. And as I'm speaking, I can see, I can hear that God is justified. I believe that what the prophets have been saying about the waves that are coming, they don't even talk about curves anymore. Everything they're saying is the next wave will hit. We said it first. You did. We did. Prophet Michael did. We did. He was the first one to bring it up over a month and a half ago on our radio program. Four waves, because I was talking about the four sword judgments. He said, these are the waves, and it's all waves now. And they're now just going to disappear? I don't believe so. But maybe God has shown you something different, and I would love to hear from you. Now is the time to call into the broadcast. And so if you're out there, come on in. Come on in, folks. If not, you know, we could just go into, and by the way, if you dial that number, 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326, press 1 on your dial pad, we'll bring you into the conversation. What does it mean to you? Did the Spirit of God move in you, say anything? Was there a rejection in your heart, say, no, that's not the Word of the Lord? What happened to you when you heard, it's over? It's over. And when we read Ezekiel 7, an end has come. An evil has come. The time has come over and over and over. What did you hear in your spirit? What did you hear inside of you? I'm asking. I heard something. I'm presenting something. What does it mean to you as a believer? How does it quicken you in your spirit to say, oh my God, it's over? What do I do now? Or something else? We have some calls coming in. We'll go ahead and take the calls. And I'm always so happy to hear from South Dakota, our dear friends out there, Ken and Kathy. Good morning, Ken and Kathy. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes. I don't know if this is coincidental or I believe it is God, because I had no idea what you were going to speak on today. And I opened a book that I've been reading from a brother that had the Prophecy Club. And this is his comment, and it was just lately. This is what he said. This nation has become a stink in the nostrils of God, and it is too late to turn his judgment back.
You heard that today in a book?
That's what I read.
Would you read it one more time, please?
This nation has become a stink in the nostrils of God, and it is too late to turn his judgment back.
And may I ask what book you found that in?
Yes, it's a brother, Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Club. He's a gentleman that has been in the ministry for many years, and I received this, and I'm sitting there reading this, and then I'm listening to you, and I thought, my God, this man has received the same thing. And so,
you were reading the book first,
yes.
And then we came on the air, said what we said, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I'm sitting there reading, and then you're speaking about what you're speaking today.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, God bless you. And so what when you hear this, what does it do to your heart? How do you respond to what you're hearing?
Well, this is kind of, you know, the word, it's over, that you said that came to you. Many times when my husband and I are in conversation and we're about doing things or we're talking about something, it just comes to me about, you know, a situation. I says, Ken, it's too late. It's over. We can't do that anymore. So there's something about it's over, too, that God is trying to quicken, I believe, to our minds, not only as God's people, but as American citizens.
Wow. Okay. They're very powerful words. It's over. I mean, that is powerful. The finality in that phrase is huge. Kathy, thank you for your call. And thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Sharing your thoughts. God bless you. All right, we're going to continue to wait for your calls to come in. 818-369-0326. I'm seeing things out on the Facebook and YouTube chat line right now. Chuck is out there, and he's saying that this is right on. See, Kevin's out there, and Clarence in South Virginia. Not South Virginia. What am I talking about? Richmond, Virginia. Is there a South Virginia? I don't think so. My math is fuzzy. Let's take our next call, 479-936. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
I'm doing good there, Pastor. Very good. I was looking forward to the revelations, but this is even better to some degree. So I had a vision yesterday. I didn't share it last night. I've still been mulling it over, but this goes along with what you've talked about already. And I shared it with Cindy yesterday. I saw coronavirus was intended to do and why. We have seen the closure of work everywhere. The streets are empty. Restaurants, theaters, entertainment parks, places are closed. Workers are laid off. The government made the decision to shut down America. It was closed because of the coronavirus and the fear of death. Where does a country or nation shut down its economy and empty its streets except to get food? China. Control of the people. That's what China's always done. In the time that they really want to control them, they've got their military out in the streets. They're making sure nobody goes about at all. They are showing that they can cause governments in all nations around the world to close its nation because of a virus. And that's the thinking that China did make this, and I think there's a lot of validity to it. The flu has killed many, though we know that the United States posts yearly that the flu has done a lot more killing than what this virus has. We've talked about it. So the thought today while listening to you and other things I've been thinking about while sitting here, why would China do something like this? We know that that it's just like a snake. It takes little bites at a time. This is what China has done. Even though maybe not intended originally, they started controlling everything. A key, the love of money is the root of all evil, like we talked about last night. Companies knew they could make more money for themselves and their investors by moving their companies to China. China made this happen for those companies and stole all the capabilities, businesses, as well as the copy, their legal and all their patents and so on and so forth, and made their own versions of the products. Another thing with this virus, the stock market crashed. People lose their money in their retirement funds. People have to make changes, maybe not, to live differently with less. China wants to take control of all the nations and the world. Funny, even in churches, control is a denominator that is leading them than the truth in the meat of the word. As like last night, I mentioned about a person who wants to hear the truth from this program and others that you put out there. The problem is they enjoy where they go to church. And we talked about the wall, what's between them and God. And the thing is what do we put between us and the Lord? They who have an ear, let them hear. Those who have an eye, let them see. The problem is this last part, people do not want to see. They may really, if they look and ask for eye salve to open their eyes up so they can see the truth of what's going on, where they're at, and that they're not really looking at God or looking towards Him for whatever we need, what they need. Who do we bow down to and look for help?
That's a good question. That's a good question. That answers all things, doesn't it?
Don't we wish?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kevin, those are powerful words. Those are very powerful words. And again, I find it amazing that our first caller has a confirmation that Stan Johnson book she was reading, and then she heard an exact confirmation. You're now writing things down from last night. You have a vision about China again, and that's one of the most brutal articles. That's why I stopped. I mean, the intensity of when God said, I'm going to send the worst of the heathen. When you really see what's going on behind the scenes, it's like what we've seen in America with Jeffrey Epstein and the mm-hmm. skirt being lifted up and all the pedophiles in high power positions within our government who had him killed so that they wouldn't be exposed, and they swept that under the carpet. No, it's very corrupt. It's very evil. It's very wicked. And God sees it all. God bless you, my friend. God bless you.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, very good. All right, let's take our next call coming in from area code 479-855. 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. Can you hear me?
I hear you very good. Yes, sir. How are you?
Oh, great. Well, it's been a wonderful morning. God, what a rich message, full of meat. I mean, if this ain't meat, this is the revelation. To answer your question about what did I hear when I heard the word over, well, first of all, because we're overcomers, I think it's time to really kick it in gear for the overcomers to really start overcoming everything that God has put in front of them in their heart and their mind, personally, corporately, and within this nation, that the overcomers should arise. But the one thing I think also, too, that hit my heart, that it's over, that our Father's eyes have looked down on this nation and said, enough's enough. That's it. I look within the body, the church, not the body, but the church, so-called church. I see all this ugliness, this pollution, this unholiness, and it has come up to my nostrils. And then I was led to Revelation after that, to Revelation in the overcoming chapters of 2 and 3, about how He says to the church in Thyatira, he says in verse 19, I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. And the last is more than the first. Of course, you see all the good works happening in this country. But he says in verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou hast suffered the woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach unto Zeus, my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Here it is, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. 22, here it is. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So what he's looking for is the people to hear the trumpet call of repentance. Those that have, I believe, saying we got to come out of her, Babylon, come out of a system that's been in here, America, Babylon, you know, make yourself white by the blood of Jesus Christ, confess your sins, drop your knees, blessed are the meek that hear, that should inherit the earth, all these things. And really, it's the heart cry of our Father saying, come out of her, my people. And that's what it is for America. That's where here I say, that's it. I see the freedom of this country as we have known it for this generation, and those that are before us in years have seen the freedom of the beauty of this country start crumbling down slowly, but now it's escalating. It's going faster and faster and faster and faster. And what's happening, if those that don't repent, don't hear this message, don't receive it, don't even check those little spots and wrinkles within that God has really been addressing and they've been ignoring, he's saying enough's enough. And when this next wave hits, it's going to hit them like a thief in the night. It's going to hit them so hard and so fast, they're going to either be weeping or their heart's going to be hardened. And so what it is, it's going to reveal, if they don't repent, they didn't have the fear of the Lord, but they had the fear of man. They chose to go to the fear of man and serve the idols and keep that way, which is unfortunate. So truly, that word over has a big impact right now for those that have ears to hear.
Well said. Michael, it was a month and a half ago that you brought the word on Kerm about the waves that were coming, and now you're hearing the dialogue in the news media. It's no longer curves. It's all about waves. The next wave is going to come. The next wave. It's as though the Spirit of the Lord is just always one step ahead of everybody, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I'll tell you what, the preparation of this next wave, it's going to take people, I mean, off guard, unfortunately. But for us that have received the word ahead of time, we're looking. I'm looking past this coronavirus. I'm preparing my heart and my mind to do away with anything the Father has done to show me through the Holy Spirit about any fears. Because the Bible directs us to say, you know, fears that are coming upon the earth and all these things and men's hearts failing. And we'll see them because we're hearing about it. We're hearing about all this stuff. But the impact when it comes is another story. I mean, we could talk about it all day long, Pastor Vincent, but when the true impact of the evidence that we see and hear, that's going to be the real test, and to see really are we walking in the Spirit up on Mount Zion, or if we're still walking on the face of the earth in our flesh.
Amen. Michael, thank you so much for sharing your words. We're running out of time. I'm going to leave the broadcast today with a song by a friend of ours, and his name, again, is Rod Stewart. He gave his life to Jesus Christ many, many years ago. He wrote a song called It's Over. I'm going to go out with this. I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless everybody.
The congregation sang. We knelt and prayed as we stood before God on that beautiful day. Church bells rang and the champagne flowed as our friends gathered around for the wedding photo. But here we are, barely 5 years old, and our whole world's falling apart. Plans we had together, up in smoke and gone forever, poisoned by the lawyer's letter, it's over. I don't want our kids to suffer. Can we talk to one another? You were once my wife, my lover, it's over. Rumors and whispers tear me apart, that I know you better than that. Inseparable we, with a breeze in our sails. Now I feel the chilled wind of a marriage that failed. And I pray I'm not invited. They've taken their sides. Now they'll all sit back and watch the circus unwind. I'm trying to focus the brain, but I'm hurting deep down inside. All the pain and all the grieving. When did we stop believing? Too late now. Stop the bleeding, it's over. What's the sense in pointing fingers? Who's the Satan? Who's the sinner? There ain't gonna be a winner, it's over.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. I hit the wrong button. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless everybody. Shalom.